Welcome to a responsive day for the 28th of Elul. Today we're going to learn from Reb Chaim David HaLevi, and it's actually a responsive, this doesn't happen so much in this series for me, it's actually a responsive about an issue I've thought about for a long time. It's troubled me in a lot of ways, and I feel like Reb Chaim David HaLevi has really, really wise things to say about it. When I say it doesn't happen to be so often, what I mean is most of our tshuvot are on interesting issues or important issues or issues of halachic concern, but not things that I've personally struggled with. There are questions that have come up, and I think the answers are valuable and helpful. This is an issue where I've really actually struggled with what the right answer is, and Shu'at Aseh Lecha Rav, Volume 6, Responsive Number 42, addresses it in a way that I think is very productive, very interesting. Let's remember to thank the OU, Rabbi Jack Abramowitz, David Hachhauser, for their help with the Shirim, and then let's just dive right into what Rabbi Chaim David HaLevi tells us. The question is from a man who writes on the 28th of Elul, of Tufshin Dalad Mem. Very often we don't know the years of Reb Chaim David HaLevi's Tshuvot. In this case we do. It's 28th of Elul of 1984. He says, there's a man in my neighborhood, a man I know, he doesn't give details, who for more than a year has been causing me problems, including slandering me. And despite all of my attempts to, you know, to mend relations with this person, he continues. So the man is worried, what do I do if he comes to me in Yom Kippur? Right, this is the 20th of Elul, so Yom Kippur is 12 days away. When he comes to be Arab Yom Kippur, before Yom Kippur, and he wants to get Mechila, that is Jews, you know, that's their practice, am I obligated to give the guy Mechila? That's if he asks. Let's say he doesn't ask. Am I obligated to give him Mechila if he doesn't ask? And not only that, and then he says, and I'm also worried, or I pretty much the guy assumes that even if he asks for Mechila, after Yom Kippur, he'll continue doing what he's doing to me. He'll continue, and the word he uses is lerdof. So lerdof is a technical halachic word. It means he'll chase after me, but it usually comes in the context of when one person chases another person to kill them. I mean, the man's feeling, this man is persecuting me. He's going to come, he's going to take advantage of this common Jewish practice to get Mechila, to get forgiveness from people. Then he'll keep hurting me. Do I have to give him Mechila? Do I have to do that? And then he says, and even if the answer is yes, I want to point out, and I'm struggling with this. This man is saying, and I don't know what I do about it. Even if I say, even I know that I'm required to, and therefore I do, and I say with my mouth, yes, I give you Mechila, I still worry that in my heart, I'm not going to be able to forget what he's done to me. So Reb Chaim David now writes back, I got your letter only Erev Yom Kippur. So now, the day after Yom Kippur, I'm going to write to you. So it's unfortunate for this man. We don't know what happened, whether the guy did come or didn't come. But Reb Chaim David HaLevi is going to cover all the issues anyway. So he says, and you should know that mending relations and settling fights and finding a way to arbitrate and mediate between people who are fighting, it applies the whole year. So the fact that it's late, as it were, isn't a reason that the letter isn't still valuable. So first thing he says is, you need to know that when it comes to sins between a man and his fellow man, like this man has done to this person, the man who's hurting and oppressing this victim, so you need to know that Yom Kippur, the Mishnah Yoma tells us, Yom Kippur doesn't provide kapara, doesn't provide atonement until the perpetrator, the aggressor, finds a way to mollify the person who was hurt by it. And that's a rule that has been codified by the Rambam and in the Shulchan Aruch. I was just pointing out, it doesn't come up in the responsive at all, really, but I just think about it as I'm reading it again and reviewing it. It's important to think about the fact that the person that in this letter is identified as the aggressor, who's chasing after this guy, whatever, he probably has a perspective as well. And so it might be that, and this is really unfortunate because it makes it much harder to find peace among these people and among the Jewish people as a whole. He might be thinking, this man has done whatever it is to me, and I'm talking about him, and he's not coming to appease me, and so that can be problematic. That's not our main issue here. So, first step that Reb Chaim David HaLevi points out is that when it comes to tshuva, when it comes to repentance, for a second, let's talk about ordinary repentance for ordinary sins, right? A person, you know, eats treif, unfortunately, and they want to do tshuva, and they want to repent, and they want to get forgiveness before Yom Kippur and things like that. So there are conditions that we set up for saying what counts as tshuva. And Reb Chaim David HaLevi says that all those conditions apply also to sins that people commit towards their fellow human beings. And among those conditions are charata, regret, v'azivat achet, and leaving the sin. That's important, and the Rambam writes it that way. And that's important in our context because it's going to be, the Chaim David HaLevi now will be able to say to this guy, if the person who's hurting you and is coming to you from Mechila has not declared his charata, his regret, and his azivat achet, his intent not to return to that sin, then there's no tshuva here whatsoever. And without tshuva, without repentance, there's going to be no obligation for you to forgive him. So that's clear in the Rambam, he says, because the Rambam writes, v'chein achovel b'chaveiro v'amazik mamono. If somebody hurts another person, chovel is hurts him physically, mazik mamono causes him monetary damage, alpha pisha shilei mashechayav, even though he paid what he was obligated to pay, right? In other words, person A damages person B and causes him $100 worth of damage, pays off the damage. But the Rambam writes, adds, but he won't get kapara achiyid vadeh until he admits to what he did, v'yashuv mi la'asot kazeh la'olam, and undertakes not to do it again forever. Now, we all know or maybe I'm revealing too much about myself, but I think in our personal tshuva we can know that it can be difficult to avoid going back to a sin. We can get so used to a particular sin, right? Let's say I'm so used to my cheeseburger on the way home from work every single day. I do tshuva and I may never do it again. Doesn't mean I'm necessarily going to succeed, because the temptation can be very great. That can be true between in Dvarim Sheben Adam L'Chavero as well. That can be true in matters in interpersonal sins as well. But it's nonetheless true. What I'm saying is the intent has to be there. The resolution has to be there. The undertaking not to do it anymore, right? If I've gotten used to, and I'm not saying I should have, let's say it about me, a person got used to insulting another person, calling them by a derogatory nickname, which is a very big problem in Halacha. We're not supposed to do it. Calls them, whatever the derogatory term would be, calls him this derogatory term, he gets used to calling him that, the person's upset about it, person realizes he's wrong, the perpetrator realizes he's wrong, comes and he says, I'm wrong, I apologize, I'm sad that I did it, and I intend not to do it again. Now, if you've been doing it every day until now, every time you've seen the person, and now he only does it every seventh time he sees the person, that's certainly a lot of improvement from the perspective of the person being insulted. It might not necessarily count for enough. But that would at least be the attempt to do tshuva, the attempt to repent of the sin. Chaim David Levi is saying that the Rambam is making very clear that even in interpersonal issues, it's not only repaying whatever damage was done, it's undertaking tshuva, repentance, in the same sense as undertaking tshuva in sins ben adam makom, in ways that we sin towards Hashem, is true of our sins towards people as well. So that's powerful point number one. This man comes to you and says, I want mechila. But he just says mechila, and he doesn't make clear that he's doing tshuva, he's repenting for the sin, for the crimes he's done towards this fellow Jew. So that's not going to really count as tshuva. And without tshuva, there's no obligation of mechila. The Rambam adds the word that makes this point as well, that when it comes to interpersonal sins, you have to return what you owe the person, v'yiratzehu. You have to do a ritzui. You have to find a way to appease that person and to assuage their hurt feelings. And that would be true even if it was just verbal taunting or teasing or something like that. You have to try to appease him, to beg him for forgiveness to the point that he forgives. And that's not always so easy. And it can be that there are people who refuse to grant that appeal, that atonement, grant that absolution when they should, when they have every reason to think that the person who committed a crime against them has repented of that crime and has apologized for that crime, is doing their best to try to make amends, and they still refuse. But that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is the victim, the person who has been attacked, and the person who has been slandered is saying that I'm worried the person is going to pro forma come to me and say, I want mechila. So Chaim David Levi is assuring him that there's no obligation to give mechila until unless there's also meaningful tshuva. And meaningful tshuva at least includes regret for what occurred, and also the undertaking to not do it again. Because if I say, yeah, I regret that I did it, but I'm going to do it every single time, right? I just call you, stupid every time I saw you. I just call you idiot every time I see you. And yeah, I feel bad that I did it, but I'm doing it. So there's no obligation of mechila. Then he goes on to say, not only is there no obligation, it's not even a midat chasidut. If the person, now this is the case where, let's say the person doesn't come, because the man had asked the question, let's say he doesn't come, am I required to be mochel anyway? Maybe you'd say, maybe to be a nice person and an Erev Yom Kippur, I should think to myself, you know what, people did things to me, but I'm mochel the things they did to me. So here this person is a continuing aggressor again, the victim, the person writing with Chaim David Levi feels that this person is continually acting aggressively and meanly towards him and damaging him and hurting him and spreading lies about him. Is he required, as a matter of being a fine Jew, a good Jew, a nice person, is he required to say, you know what, I'll let it go? So Chaim David Levi says, no, you're not. If he doesn't come to ask you for forgiveness and to promise you that he's going to not do it in the future, I would This is me talking, and maybe I'm wrong, and you can write me at grothst@gmail.com. But I think that it might be better to amend it if he commits to. He's going to attempt to. He's going to do his best not to do it in the future. I'm not sure that we can, any of us, be so confident, oh, I'm never going to do it again. We can say, I'm going to really try very, very hard not to do it again. So Rechaim Del Levi says, there's no even a midat chasidut limuchol. There's just no reason to offer that mechila. He says, we have nobody more religious and more into these issues than the Chaye Adam, because the Chaye Adam, who was an important Rav in 19th century Danzig, he was a Rav in Danzig and other places, wherever, you know, in Germany, Poland, those places. Chaye Adam was a earlier work, just before the Mishnah Berurah, you know, two generations before the Mishnah Berurah, but it didn't go the order of the Shulchan Aruch. It rewrote the Shulchan Aruch. The Chaye Adam is on Orech Chaim issues. He also wrote a Chachmat Adam on Yeredeya issues. And in the Orech Chaim part, it didn't follow the Shulchan Aruch. It was just a rewriting of all those halachot in ways that were very accessible. It was a very popular work of halacha. And then it was, I think, superseded by the Mishnah Berurah and the Orech HaShulchan. They became, most of the Mishnah Berurah became more popular than the Chaye Adam. But what the Chaye Adam left around it is still widely used. The Chaye Adam is still itself used. I agree. I don't want to minimize the importance of that work. But he also wrote what's called Tfilat Zakah, that many, many people say on Erev Yom Kippur, just before Kol Nidre. It's a prayer to put ourselves in the mood for and to prepare ourselves for the kind of repentance we need to try to be doing on Yom Kippur. And he wrote there, V'hinini mochel b'mechila gimura l'chol mi shechata negdi. He says, and this is where the idea comes from, that the man is writing to Rav Chaim Del Levi about, and I forgive anybody who sinned against me. Right? It's a nice idea to just forgive people, because it's sort of parallel. If I'm looking to Hashem for forgiveness for things where I don't really deserve it, then I should forgive people who don't really deserve it. But even when writing that, this is why Rav Chaim Del Levi is bringing it up, even when he's writing that, even when he's promoting the value of forgiving when it's not fully deserved, Chaye Adam writes, chutz, he gives exceptions. So one of the exceptions relevant to our issue is, v'chutz b'mi shechotei k'negdi v'omar echta lo v'yim kol, and also to exclude those who assume that they can sin against me and that I will forgive them. Meaning if my turning the cheek is a Christian idea, so I don't mean we have that, but if my willingness to forego slights to my honor, willingness to forego damage that people have done to me, becomes a moral hazard in the sense that people say, well, I could hurt so-and-so because he'll just forgive me. So that, the Chaye Adam says, we have no responsibility whatsoever to undertake. So hooray, this is the back of Chaim Dovah Levi talking now, that the Chaye Adam, Nahag min ha-chasidut, limchol l'chol mi shechatalo, he says it's a good idea, it's a supererogatory, as Professor Tversky, Alav HaShalom, my teacher, Professor Tversky, Alav HaShalom, would say, supererogatory, it's beyond the call of duty, it's beyond what's required, it's to be dat chasidut, and a minhag chasidut, to forgive those who have sinned against you in the past, even though they didn't come to ask forgiveness, but not the people who are going to rely on that, right, who are in the process of being, first in the process of sinning against me, chote behove, continuing to sin, and relying on the fact that I will forgive them. So coming back to this man's situation, since the man had written that the aggressor, mamshich beridifotav, continues to act against me and to act aggressively towards me and to hurt me, so there's no need to be mochel. There's no need to give atonement, even as midyat kasud at all. So that's step one. Step one is a man's hurting another man. The person who's being hurt is not aware of any request for forgiveness, any attempt at forgiveness, any interest in forgiveness. That person has no responsibility whatsoever to forgive the aggressor. That's situation number one. They don't have to, now. Situation number two is, or, we've already said, if the aggressor comes and says, I want mechila, but that mechila, this request, comes with no apparent change of heart or change of activity, there too, there's no obligation, not even as a higher value, to forgive them. Where it gets a little more complicated, and the next step is, let's suppose the aggressor, and we can hope that the aggressor has a change of heart, and he comes to the person who's been hurt all these years, and he promises him he's not going to do it in the future, or as I've said before, he'll make every attempt not to do it in the future. So then Rav Chaim David Levi says, and this is an important, important value, and it's connected to our hope that Hashem forgive us. The appropriate thing to do is to be mitpayes and to be mochel, is to allow oneself to be appeased and to be mochel. And we're going to get into how difficult the standard that is in a second, but let's pause to notice the value here. The value isn't to be a doormat. The value isn't just to forgive people just because Jews always forgive people. The value is that when people do things wrong, and they have a change of heart, we have to be open to that change of heart. And I know of many cases where people, even when it doesn't affect them, are less open to changes of heart than maybe we should have to be. It's both sides of the coin that we have to be aware of and that we have to account for. We have to be, as long as the person is hurting me and not changing their minds, I have no obligation to be mocha whatsoever. But if they change, if they have a change of heart, and if they want to change, I need to do my best, whatever that is, to account for that and to respond to that properly. And that's why the Rambam writes, a person can't be achzari, which is a word we usually translate as cruel, but I think here it also means insensitive or harsh. But you know, you can't be closed off. Rather, a person is supposed to be noach lirtzot, open to people making amends, open to rebuilding relationships, for kashel yikos, and long, hard to get angry. So therefore, when the sinner comes to you, and let's remember, when a sinner comes to you, it's like Yitzchak Rabin, Alav HaShalom, made a very, very important point. How it worked out in history is a whole different discussion, and I don't mean to be political here at all, but when he made the point that you make peace with enemies, not with friends, it's a really important point that comes up in this context. If somebody sins against you in a very serious way, so the tshuva is going to be difficult because they've sinned against you in a very serious way. Nobody's denying that. And it's not that tshuva makes it go away. And like, right, you know, and let's say somebody decides one year to eat on Yom Kippur, God forbid. They eat on Yom Kippur, and then they feel later they really feel bad about it. At the time, whatever they were thinking, they really feel bad about it. They come to Hashem, and they say to Hashem, I really feel bad about it, whatever the standards of tshuva are, but they go through it, and they go through the tshuva process. Hashem teaches us, and Hashem says, okay, I'll let it go. Now, let it go doesn't mean it didn't happen. Let it go doesn't mean it's wiped away. The person ate on Yom Kippur. So, however Hashem has built the world such that there's a process called tshuva, and tshuva can sometimes even become a positive in a person's life, and they can, you know, there are gemaras that talk about Rish Lakish says, sometimes you can have tshuva. Tshuva me ahava, we call it, a tshuva of love, that can turn the sins into merit in some way. That's a long, complicated, hard process and discussion. But somebody, you know, somebody destroys my car, to take a relatively easy example. My car was worth, you know, $5,000. I drove an old jalopy. My car was worth $5,000. He destroyed my car. The $5,000 meant a lot to me because I wasn't a rich person, and I had to struggle, and I had to go, you know, I had to commute to work instead for a while because I couldn't get a new car, and I had to this, and that. It complicated my life in difficult ways. Person has a change of heart 5 months later. They really do. They pay the $5,000, right? They can't pay me more because it's a loan, right? But they pay the $5,000, and they really feel bad, and I believe they feel bad, okay? Here's the challenge for me. I still lost my car and went through all that trouble. That's what the Rambam is trying to encourage us to realize, that as Jews, we are supposed to also have this value in our minds, that we recognize that we do things wrong, and that others do things wrong, and we have to be open to changes of heart such that we can try to work things out better, and be mochel b'lev shalem, and forgive it with a full heart to the extent we can, and be happy about it, not happy that it happened, but happy that this person has said this change of heart. No, it's not so simple at all. I don't want to minimize it. I don't think we've kind of later been minimizing it. He's reminded him first, he's not required to do it until there's a real change of heart. It's two sides. You don't have to do it with bad people, but we also have to be open to the fact that even bad people often, sometimes, and we can hope for often, change, and as they change and develop, become better people, we're supposed to do our bit to try to be open and welcoming to that. And that's even if the person has caused him a lot of trouble and a lot of damage. You know, an example that just popped into my mind, that just to stress how much it is, let's say a man steals another man's wife. Now, that's not allowed in halacha, and he's not really allowed to marry the woman that he's stolen and all those issues. But let's say it happens. So breaks up his marriage, and then whatever happens with the woman, what happens with the woman, but years later comes back to the man and says, you know, I really did a terrible thing to you, and I feel awful about it, and it's terrible that I did it, and we believe that he's sincere. So it's not at all simple for the person to whom that happened to say, I forgive you and I do it. And that's part of the standard that halacha tries to get us to strive for. This is back in Chaim Tov Levi. This is the way of the Jewish people, that we do our best. And if we really believe there's sincere tshuva, often there's not sincere tshuva, and then we're off the hook. We don't have to. If we really believe there's sincere tshuva, we have to do our best to try to forgive the person, even though they damaged us a great deal. And therefore, if you can, that's what you should really strive for if that's the situation that comes your way. Now, if you can, but he says it's only if, it's only a goal, excluding the example of if he slandered you, if he spoke ill of you, motzi shemra, if he spread false rumors about you. So then, halachically, he's not actually required to forgive him fully, because by spreading false rumors, Some people will hear the original spread of false rumors, but they won't hear the apology. And therefore, the damage is done, and the damage continues. And as long as the damage continues, one could argue that. So let's say, you know, somebody spreads an internet rumor about me that I am a bad person in X and Y way. So rather than saying in that situation, even though the person apologized to me, you can't always stamp out things that were on the internet, and there will be people who won't. So let's say he'll say, I'll broadcast it all over the internet that I lied and that I was wrong and that it was a false rumor. That's good, and maybe it's necessary, but it might not reach everybody. So therefore, halakhically, that person is not necessarily required to fully forgive the person. But the humble way of the Jewish people is to realize, and I think part of it is because we need to know that we do such things, maybe not this exact thing, but we do things that aren't fundamentally different from that, and therefore midat anava is, even then, if the tshuva, if the repentance is really honest and really sincere, we should be mochel as well. Then he says, this part of your letter really bothers me. You wrote in your letter, and I think that even if you tell me that halakhically I have to be mochel, and I'll say the words, and I'll listen to you halakhically, I don't think I'll be able to. Right? And even if I say it out loud, I think in my heart I won't be able to forgive. So Rav Kondolev says, it's not clear to me exactly what you mean by that. One possibility is you mean the person has slandered me and spread false rumors about me, and which is a very serious issue, Rav Kondolev agrees, and that really is very hard to forgive, especially if those rumors, let's say, you know, he spread the word, this guy's an honest businessman, and then he applies for jobs, and he finds himself not getting jobs because the guy's saying, we're not getting account right, within his business because people think he's not honest. So then it's really hard because you're still suffering, even though the person's repentant and he's happy to be a reference for you now, just doesn't matter, right? I'm trying to get your advertising account. I'm an advertising agency. I want your account. And so-and-so has spread the rumor that this advertising agency overbills. And I bring the guy with me to the pitch, and I say, here's the guy. And he says, yes, I'm the one who spread those rumors. It was completely wrong. They were false. It's not true. And this man is really honest. He only bills, you know, honestly. I still might not get the jobs. Right? So if this person is still suffering from the slander that has happened, even though the aggressor, the perpetrator, is fully penitent, and we believe the penitence, so then it's true that mikoach hadin, that as far as Allah is concerned, you're actually not required to forgive the person, and it's not even, and even if you beg, it's not considered achzar, cruel or harsh or insensitive until that you refuse to do so, because you're still suffering, and that would certainly be true if he's continuing to spread the lies. But even if he's not continuing to spread the lies, they're just out there, and we don't know how to cleanse the world of those slanderous lies such that this person won't suffer for them, then yeah, you don't have to. Although, if you could suppress that anger and distress and find a way to forgive them, right? And another example popped in my head is, you know, let's say the person's up for partner in a law firm. Right? And the year they're up for partner law firm, somebody spreads lies about them that they've been padding their accounts all the time and they're not really as good as lawyers they are and they won't be able to bring any business, whatever, and the person doesn't make partner in that law firm, and whenever they look for other law firms to get to, they can't go to the same level of law firm, so they end up in a much smaller law firm making much less money, and that's the course of their career. 3 years later, the person comes in and says, I'm so sorry, I feel bad. Could be true. All could be true. Person does sincere tshuva, and yet in the course of this person's career now, you know, we believe in God, and God can change things, and this, and this, and this. But as far as the person needs to react to it, there's damage that continues from that slander that continues to affect him. He doesn't have the legal halachic obligation to forgive, even though Rav Kondolev encourages him to say, you know, there's still a value in, if you can, and he's really sincere, to forgiving even then. But a caveat to that is, another way to read this letter of Kondolev says, you might be saying to me that what you mean is that you're worried that if you forgive him, he'll feel comfortable right after Yom Kippur returning to his path. And therefore, you don't want to forgive because you feel like forgiving too soon will let him feel too off the hook, and then he'll do things that are, you know, he'll feel like the victim is a patsy, like this person is a patsy. So if that's your intent and you're trying to protect yourself from future wrongs and slanders that you feel are in the offing, right? So in other words, basically, he's not really sincere in his request for atonement. He's not really sincere in his regret because you still suspect that next week he's gonna. There's an old joke. I just don't have time to tell it. I apologize, but the punchline is Azoyus Kivain. You know, right after Yom Kippur, a guy knocks on his enemy's door and says, "All right, it's all back to what used to be." If that's what you're worried about in that situation, then it's obvious you're not required to forgive the person. And it's the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says, "V'hamochel yachzari." Right, the person shouldn't be harsh, cruel, insensitive. But then Ramah adds the words a little later in that section, a paragraph, im lo shemechavein letovat hamevakesh mechila, unless you're intending for the good of the person asking for atonement. The Magen Avraham explains, says that that's true if it's also for your own good. Meaning if there's some reason not to forgive, it helps you or it helps the meaning. Let's say it helps the person, for example, let's say, you know, a man, spouses have some falling out of some serious level, and one of the spouses has to do something to try to get the marriage back on track. It would be imaginable, let's say, you know, the one spouse has a substance abuse problem or a domestic abuse problem, they go to rehab or they go to therapy, they go to whatever. So it's plausible to say that if the aggrieved spouse, the spouse who has been hurt, forgives the other spouse too soon, that will serve as an excuse for that spouse to let him or herself off the hook. Or, you know, if there's an alcoholic and it's hurt his family or her family, and the forgiveness can itself be a problem. So the Rama says, yeah, if you're going to withhold forgiveness for the good of the person, of the perpetrator, or for the good of the person against whom these issues have been perpetrated, then that's allowed. Chaim Levi just adds, it would be worth weighing this very, very carefully. If you think that it's true that by refusing to give mechila, it's possible that he will return, if you weigh carefully that maybe by being stubborn, you're going to help this person along to get to even better tshuva, to more sincere tshuva. But the other option to realize is that by being unyielding, you might also lead the person to give up or to not care or to get angry with you and to go back to his old ways. You don't want to do that either. And we have a general principle that a ma'avir al midotav ma'avirin lo al kol pesha'av, that somebody who foregoes things that happen to them, so they get atonement for their sins in Hashem, and they'll in heaven they will give you rachamim. And that's another possibility. Then the final possibility he has for what the man had said was, then maybe what you meant was that if the man comes, if the aggressor comes and he asks for your forgiveness and he promises he's not going to do it again, and you trust the promise and you trust that he's sincere, you're still worried that you still have all of these feelings. And these feelings don't just go away in a second because he says, I'm sorry. Okay, but you ruined my life in X, Y, and Z ways. You know, you destroyed what's going on. How am I going to just forgive you? And Chaim Levi points out, every time you see him, you're going to remember all the things he did. And he's going to pain you all over again. And so, you, letter writer, are thinking, that's not slicha. I'm not forgiving. I'm being a terrible person. I'm not forgiving because it's still in there, because it's still bugging me. So Chaim Levi says, yeah, we have to talk about that. Because he says he thinks you have a misconception. If you look at the Rambam, when the Rambam says a person can't be cruel or harsh, he says, mochel b'lev shalem, forgives with a full heart, uvenevesh chafetzah, and a desiring soul. You know, the person did terrible things to you, whatever. Lo yikom v'lo yitor. So lo yikom is you don't take revenge. You don't refuse to do favors to that person because of what they did to you. And lo yitor is you don't hold it onto it by saying to the person, look at you. You did this to me, and now you want a favor for me. I'm going to do the favor even though you were terrible for me. So those are prohibitions in the Torah. You can't be no kem, you can't be no ter. Right? So no ter of Chaim David Levi says, if you look at the Rambam, that is an external activity. Right? So he points out, motzi shemer might, you know, when the person slander you, that might not be included for the reason we've said before. I'm going to skip that part. But he says the nekima and the tira are external actions. Meaning, how could it be that Allah would require us to immediately forget all that was done to a person? I live years of my life suffering for this, or in this particular case, a year of a person's life suffering financially and emotionally, and he looked down on me, and he said terrible things to me, and I have to just let it all go as if it never happened? So it can't be that that's what the Rambam meant, says Rechaim Dinah Levi. It means that that's why the examples of Loti Kom and Loti Tor are important, because, says Rechaim Dinah Levi, those are about actions. And once the person has asked my forgiveness, and I am required to forgive that person, that's about how I act towards that person. And I have to discipline myself, right? So this person has done a year of hurting me, and he comes to me after the year, and he's apologized, and I agree he's apologized, and I've forgiven him, and now he wants a favor. So I can't not do the favor. If I can, it might be I can't do the favor for other reasons. But I can't do the favor and say, look at me. I say to him, look, I'm doing you this favor even though you did this terrible thing to me. And I can't not do the favor by saying, look at what you did to me. If I can do the favor, I should do it. If I can't do the favor, I shouldn't. I can't do it. But I can't reference those old issues. And Chaim Levi says, that's as far as it goes. The internal stuff will have to take its own time to work it out. He proves it. He gives an example of it because the Gemara talks in another situation about a Torah scholar who might be required to stand on his honor. It's a different discussion, not a discussion. But the Gemara then says, what about Lotikum Lotitor? What about those prohibitions in the Torah? So the Torah Gemara says, that's about financial things and how you deal with financial issues, not about how you react to people. So that shows Rav Chaim David HaLevi that when the Rambam says, you have to really fully forgive the person. And then the examples of how that forgiveness expresses itself is in terms of the prohibitions of taking revenge or holding a grudge, those are in actions. What happens internally, much more complicated picture. And therefore, he's saying to the man, don't feel bad about that because that's something that'll have to work itself out over time. Because people don't really, he says, people, Hashem has the power to completely forgive stuff like that. Whereas people, they ignore stuff, but they can't just let it go. That's not how people work. People can't remove the past from inside their hearts fully just on a dime. And he offers a Malbim who makes the point in the context of the spies and discussion that we don't have to get into, but the Malbim makes the point that when we refer to something as being a nosei avon, bearing a sin is different than being a soleach. Soleach is forgiving the sin as if it was never happened. Being a nosei avon is being willing to, and this is what he's saying people have the ability to do and are required to do when tshuva has happened, is to act as if the sin didn't occur, even though internally we might remember it. Soleach is somebody yells at me because they're in a bad mood, and I know at the time they're in a bad mood, but they yelled at me. They come, they apologize to me, they say they were in a bad mood, I realize they were, and I say, fine, and I forget about it, right? As long as they continue not to yell at me, I'm fine, I forget about it. That would be slicha. That people don't generally have the capability to do when it's a serious wrong that's been done to them. They do have the ability to be nosei avon. They have the ability to say, I understand that you did something wrong, and I understand that you regret it, I understand that you're trying to make amends, and I am not going to hold this against you in any way whatsoever. I'm not going to, you know, act in any ways as if it occurred. That would be nosei avon. And that is what people have the ability to do. So Rav Chaim David HaLevi, in this very, very important tshuva, talks about the process of when we are and aren't required to forgive our fellow Jews. We're not required to forgive them if they don't apologize. And that apology has to include regret, and it has to include an intent for the future. We're sometimes not required to forgive if the damage that was done is ongoing, such as in a motzi shemra, somebody slandering somebody else. And even when we do forgive, even when we do have the responsibility to forgive, that is not, it can be difficult to do, right? But if there's a protective reason not to do it, we're allowed not to do it, meaning if we have to protect ourselves or we think it's better for the person involved not to fully forgive them yet, that's allowed as well. If they're holding it against them or holding it over their heads, that will help them improve, that's allowed as well. And even when we forgive them, we're not required, because this is what Hashem does, we're not able to do this, we're not required to immediately completely forget about it if we don't, we're a bad person. It's that we have to then, once we've recognized sincere repentance and a sincere attempt to make amends, we have to act in that way towards that person, even as the emotional reverberations of it might take time to get over. And that is, to me, a wonderfully insightful and helpful response from Rav Chaim David HaLevi for the 28th of Elul about the process of forgiving each other. And I hope that as Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur occur, you know, it occurred to me, I'm taping these shiurim long before the Elul, so it's not in my mind, but I should be saying Ketivah V'Chatimah Tovah to all of you as I record these. So let me say it now, Ketivah V'Chatimah Tovah, and with the hopes that we all make amends, both with our friends and our colleagues and our even people we have tension with, and that Hashem accepts our tshuva. We find a way to do a full tshuva, and Hashem accepts our tshuva, and we all are zocher, really, really, to a ketivah v'chatimah tovah.